Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. E similis itil. Ich reise gerne. Is meith liom teistil. I guess you don't know Latin, or German, or Gaelic. How about this? I like to travel. It was one of the things I enjoyed about my short truck driving career before this thing happened. Take the 10-wheel out to the farm. All the farmers are different. All the farms are different. New things. With the 18-wheeler, get out to cities like Eldridge, Cedar Rapids. New things. All those people in all those places spoke the same language. We all spoke American. Then we went outside the country for the first time. My first time, our school trip to the UK in 05. Their language is very similar to the American language. But I'll tell you, that ticket seller at the tube speaking with a thick Cockney. Think of tech support. Gus, our guide, had to come over and translate. Then in 08, we went to Ireland for our 30th. They also speak a form of American with a different accent. In Germany, those in the West preferred their impeccable American to my minimal German. I say to the server, Wasser bitte. She says to me, you want some water? Yes, please. In East, like in Wittenberg, people of my age learned Russian. So you wanted to pick out a youngster if you need to ask for directions in East Germany, former East Germany. The Italians, language was a problem. All of them learned American, most of them forgot it, and all of them refused to speak it. Except that lady chewed me out in impeccable English. Parked the car on the outskirts of Florence. Took the bus into the city center. That was the day we overdosed on art. Time to find the car and go back to the castle. You know, those buses all look the same. What number was that bus we took in here? Little help? Depending on how you define language, we're down to about 6,000 or 7,000 languages in the world. There used to be a lot more. Language, another thing that's unique to humans, we're built to speak, to make sounds, to communicate. Language can be a powerful unifier. Language can also be a powerful divider. 30 years ago, places like Poland and Ukraine became actually independent for the first time in forever. And the main thing that always has united Poles to other Poles, Ukrainians to other Ukrainians, is a common language. Leading up to the Russian invasion, the Ukrainian leaders were urging Ukrainians in eastern Ukraine on the border with Russia to speak Ukrainian, not Russian, in your conversation. Now, in those areas conquered by Russia, the schools have already begun to teach the Russian curriculum. And you can bet that those Ukrainian children will be learning and speaking the Russian language, because language is a powerful unifier or divider. We Americans, we come from a lot of different places, a lot of different languages. The Italians who moved here learned American. And for sure, they made sure that their children learn America. And I have been told by many children of German immigrants that they were not allowed to speak German if they were in America. Maybe at home. Me, I know enough German to be dangerous, but Swedish, Belgian languages, don't know, don't care. I'm an American, and we speak American. It unifies us. So if that be the case, that common language unifies a people, which is a good thing, right? Then why did God do what he did at Babel? Why did he look at humanity and their common unifying language and scrap that? Why did God invent perhaps tens of thousands of new languages, all different for each group of people? Because God did that because God observed what was going on with the Tower of Babel, and he could see where this thing is going. He could see where this thing is going. You know, God did not create sin. Theologians talk about that. We speak of sin as an accident, not part of God's original essence of creation, but something that came afterwards. Sin is not really supposed to be here. You know, like your children, they're all going to turn out right and never do anything wrong. But here we are. And with the entrance of sin into God's perfection, the thing very quickly and very thoroughly went south. Very soon, murder, fratricide, murder of brother, polygamy, multiple marriage, more murder, and the like. And as people multiplied, so did their wickedness, so that by the time of Noah, you've heard this before, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I can see that. I can see that. But Noah, his wife, his sons, their wives, were not part of that crowd. So you erase it all in the flood. Start with an almost blank canvas. The flood was to punish mankind, but the flood was for our benefit, not for her, for his, for our benefit. So we can observe that the problem was not just that Adam and Eve were bad eggs, that they were weak, easily deceived. Look at the Noah family. They were good people. And when those eight are the last man standing, all the people in the world were Christians. Didn't last very long. More bad eggs, huh? All people are descended from Noah. But of course, not all people are Christians. We observe that many people born of Christians are no longer in the faith, and it's a problem, and it's nothing new. And the flood, and the aftermath of the flood, this world we live in now, shows us the depth of original sin in humanity. Destroying it all and starting all over again? No. Not how it's going to work. Can't. So God puts that rainbow in the sky to remind us that he's never going to do that again. And at first glance, after the flood, this happens. The Tower of Babel after the flood, it seems a bit cheeky for these men to build that tower like they did. But when they say they want to build it so that, quote, its top is in the heavens, they did not intend to build to infinity. They knew all about infinity and how high the sky was. Not with bricks and mortar, you don't. Like them, we still build tall structures for the same reason, to project power. To project power with our tall buildings. It's the reason why the terrorists picked the World Trade Centers, because it represented economic power of the Christian West. And the Pentagon represented our military power. And the U.S. Capitol represents what it does. And when those Christians went on that church-building binge beginning in the 11th century, they were projecting faith, their faith in God, by building those beautiful buildings. The church was always on the highest point in town, and the steeple was tacked on for good measure, and the next town would build it just a little bit bigger. You know, the Empire State Building in New York was built just a little bit taller than the Chrysler Building so as to be the biggest. But as a practical matter, real estate in New York City is expensive, so you build up. In the Midwest, we have a lot of space. So Frank Lloyd Wright said that we should build in the prairie style. We would call those ranch houses, are very popular. The practical reason for those men building what has come to be known as the Tower of Babel was, you know, we can save ourselves and we can maybe save you from drowning in the next flood. Get Jeff off the ground. I mentioned that God put the rainbow in the sky to remind us that he's not going to do that again. And he hasn't. He won't. But these builders of that tower, they don't seem to be very good Christians. The Tower of Babel projected their specific power to save you from the next flood. And that's unbelief. That's not belief, that's unbelief. And talk about poking a finger in God's eyes. God, you think you can drown us? Well, just watch this. Besides that, those who control the tower, they think will be saved, and they can sell tickets. They can sell tickets. Saving lives, projecting power, the Tower of Babel, controlling people. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, and let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make a name for ourselves. And just what does that mean? Every now and again, you might hear that term, one world government, bandied about. Most people think that's a bad thing, because it is. It's never been done, and it never will come to pass. But that doesn't mean that people haven't tried it. A one world government means that one government would rule over all the people in the world. And by government, we mean that one man will rule over all people. It's pretty well known that Adolf Hitler, not a German, not remotely Lutheran, he wanted to rule the world, starting with Europe. That was a starting point. He and others bought into Nietzsche's idea, the philosopher, of the Aryan Superman. Super means above all other men. And the rest are Untermenschen, under people. And it's why the Nazis did what they did when they conquered. Not as well known, the Japanese saw themselves in the same way. They thought of themselves as the superior Asian race, destined to rule the inferior Asian races, the Koreans, the Chinese, and as they conquered, that thing played out too. The book is The Rape of Nanking. The author is Iris Chang. The most familiar recent examples of one people or two people at the same time wanting to rule the world and making the effort to do that, the Germans with Hitler and the Japanese. That's how that would look. But of course it didn't happen. And The Man in the High Castle is Amazon Prime's take on what that would have looked like. And I think if we would have had another season or two, the Germans would have ended up ruling the world, including the United States. And what prevented that from happening? Why are we not speaking German? And people west of the Rockies speaking Japanese? Well, because of the English-speaking peoples, the one James Hannon said invented freedom, gathered together against them. We went to war and we won. By the way, people talk about Don Kent used to fly a P-51 Mustang. He didn't. You know how I know? I asked him. He flew a P-47 Thunderbolt, 850 cal machine guns, 500-pound bomb, no cannon. He was in Burma for 2 years doing ground support. Neither is war, which is always a nasty business, the essence of God's perfect creation. There wasn't war in paradise like sin. War is an accident, a part of the fallen world and of sinful man. But war is better than the alternative. To be ruled by others, perhaps by a one world government, which is what the builders of the Tower of Babel were shooting for. It's what the natural man wants, to rule over other people, all people, take their things and control them. History of humans is just that. Russia invaded Ukraine because of Ukraine's things. Things like wheat, oil, natural resources to be taken out of the ground, and just to be able to rule over other people, to be able to tell people what to do. And some of our United States governors, not so much Governor Reynolds, took a little too much joy in telling people what to do and not to do. And we found out about our freedoms, and the freedoms we have, the freedoms we like, the freedoms we enjoy. It's a very rare thing to be free like we are free. It's a very rare thing historically and today. Hong Kong, Chinese people mostly, they speak English. They had freedom. They liked it. But they don't have any guns. The Ukrainians have guns. Countries like Ukraine and Poland, they just got that freedom, and they're fighting and going to fight for it. Our nation got its start when America got fed up with being told what to do, and we went to war. Well, taxes had something to do with it too, I suppose. This desire to rule all people is very much a part of human history. The Romans, the Egyptians, the British Empire in the 18th and 19th centuries. The saying was, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Probably the closest thing to one world government that we've seen recently. And that's what it means when the builders of the Tower of Babel say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth, which is what God had commanded them to do, to scatter and to multiply. But they understood, those builders of Babel, that that would make it hard to control people. And they wanted to control people, all people, to have it all. So, war, to be sure, it's a nasty business. And by inventing different languages, which unite some people and divide it from other people, it's better than the alternative. And you want to see the alternative today? North Korea, for example. I was watching a documentary, real story, about medical treatment in North Korea. And I think the crew went beyond what they were supposed to do. They were surprised they were able to. They shot footage of North Korean citizens actually talking. They were talking. You could hear what they were saying. And as I listened, you don't have to be a theologian to see the way they talk about their leader. The leader. Like he's God or something. They talk a lot about the little rocket man like he would talk about God. And I get that. He tells them what they can and cannot do, like a God does. They are dependent upon him for all good things, like people depend on gods for good things. And they don't want to do anything, it was very clear, to make the leader angry, because there will be consequences, just like they are with gods. So what if the leader who rules North Korea, what if he ruled the world? What would that world look like? There was more than one man involved in the building of the Tower of Babel, but history shows that the others would have been weeded out, and one man would rule. Because that's always the way that thing plays out whenever more than one person is ruling. Napoleon Bonaparte ruled with others at first, but that didn't last long. And there were a couple of Roman triumvirates around the time of Jesus. That means three people ruling. Caesar, Pompey, and Cassius. Caesar had the most guns, actually the most soldiers with arms, so it was Caesar. It always comes down to one person. Maybe we need a system with checks and balances. Something with three branches of government. It makes it hard for government to intrude in our lives. Maybe write it down. Today, one man rules North Korea, Russia, China, much of the world, but none of them do or ever will rule the world. Thank God for that. And while we're at it, thank God for the wisdom of our founding fathers. And on Monday, we thanked God for men and women who fought and died for our freedoms. And of course, there's some collateral damage that's many languages. You go to Italy, yeah, I have a hard time understanding them, and they don't want to understand me. We did find one kind lady in Florence, you just need one, who used hand motions and gestures and pointing. This after several boardings of several buses and then abort, abort, this isn't the right one. She got us on the right bus. Should have tried Spanish, sounds similar to Italian, most importantly, it's not American. The Italians, they also had a dictator of their own, Mussolini, and they fought on the side of Germany. Then they switched sides. Everybody wants to be on the winning side. But only after we had landed in Sicily and were working our way up from the heel of the boot, that actually worked sometimes. When small city-states and the papacy were fighting over Italy, now, end result, we have 7 military bases in Italy, including Alviano Air Base. That's kind of what we do when we conquer. We don't want to colonize you. We don't want to rule over you, but I think we have 600 or 700 military bases all around the world. Further collateral damage. The Christian religion, as you know, is spread not by force, but by the spoken and preached word. And that became problematic, was problematic at Jerusalem, 33 AD. First Pentecost, lots of people there from lots of different places, a plethora of languages. So how are we going to preach the gospel, which is the way Christian people are converted to Christianity? How's that going to work out? Well, God's got it covered. He gave the apostles the ability to speak in other languages. So you take the 12 apostles we know about, add the 70 we don't know so much about. Luke talks about them in his gospel. 82 different groups I can see, 82 different languages, the preacher preaching to them in their own vernacular, sort of like it is today. You hear me preaching in American, of course. I met a German Lutheran named Heinrich Brandt, when we were both at the Fort Wayne Seminary in the 80s, caught up with him in the last year or two by email. He says he did a summer vicarage at the Helmstead, Conroe area. He has fond memories of Iowa East. Today, he shepherds a flock in northeast Germany that made it through the Nazis, the Russian invasion, communist East Germany. Kind of puts perseverance into perspective, doesn't it? He preaches in German, and I could tell his English has gotten a bit rusty to be expected. Pastor Schrader in Denmark, Lutheran pastor, confessional. He preaches in Danish. And the American Ned Brockman, he was at the seminary when I was, preaches to the Finns in Finnish. And like all educated people of his day, Martin Luther spoke Latin fluently, but he preached in German. That was a new thing. And while in exile at the Wartburg Castle, he translated the Bible into German. I think it's the Bible they still use today. And when the missionaries go out into the world, the Rickmans speak Spanish to the Panamanians. The first missionaries to Hawaii, a lot of sounds, nothing written down. They had to write down their language. They had to figure out and write down their language before you can talk to these people, preach the gospel in their own language. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation produces Bibles and catechisms in many different languages for people in many different places because Christianity is spread by the spoken and preached words. And the apostles wrote it down. And Luther wrote the catechism down. You notice again this morning that Jesus tells us, if you love me, guard my word. Not keep my word, that's a different thing. If you love me, guard my word. Why? Because that's the way people become and remain Christians, by hearing the word in our own language. So me, I'm going to keep preaching in American. In a language you can understand, no more Latin or German or Gaelic. Until that time of perfection, no war, no sin, when we all understand each other, all speak the same language in our house with God.